We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, Coachable Podcast? I am your host, Tori Gordon. Welcome back to another episode. I'm so excited that you're here today because I am joined by my dear friend, Drea Renee is here all the way from Los Angeles. She's joining me in the studio to talk about modern dating culture and what it's like to be a woman dating, navigating the dating scene in 2024, what it's like to be on the apps, what it's like to go through heartbreak, how to heal after heartbreak and endings and loss, and so much more. So I am super excited to jump into this. You, my friend, are here for Poker Awards.
Yeah.
You're in town doing the hosting thing. For context, like you and I haven't known each other that long.
Right.
We met maybe a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Through Poker World. You're doing your masseuse thing. Now you're in the media.
Yeah.
It's big time. And you've taken over a podcast that I was listening to. So the funny thing is, like, I knew you in the poker world and had no idea that you were also a podcast host and that you were, in my opinion, you know, a dating expert, too, relationship expert. But I was going through a period of time in my relationship where I was considering opening up my relationship. And that's how I found out about the Open Late podcast. And so I was doing like some research, you know, I'm like, is this for me? Is this not for me?
Yeah.
And then, so I started following Open Late, loved it. And then all of a sudden your face pops up and you're on an episode. I'm like, what the hell?
Like, is Drea open?
I was like, wait, I'm so confused. And then you took over that show as the host, and now you've got your own show coming out. Hey, babe, can we talk?
Can we talk, girl?
Yes, I've sent a text like that before. Hey,
we need to talk. Well, thank you so much for having me. I love you so much. I mean, as soon as I met you, I was like, we have to be friends.
Yes.
I'm here hosting the Poker Awards. I've done it for about 7 years now, so I'm super excited about that. And yeah, I started as a massage therapist, but I've always done on-camera stuff. And then Maria Ho actually was the person who introduced me into on-camera in the poker world. Yeah.
Okay.
She was like, I know you do on-camera stuff. There's a tournament, and I think it was Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, I knew nothing about poker, and I still barely do, but I know a little bit more because I've been playing a little bit myself,
really?
Which is, yes.
I know, we still have to go play it nightly.
Yes, we do. Oh my gosh, you inspired me to play. I swear you did. So that's how I got into it. And yeah, my whole life is just so interesting. And being a massage therapist, being in the poker world and dating, girl.
Those three mix those two things together.
Okay.
And you got stories. I know you got stories.
I got so many stories. So from those stories though, yeah. So Jess took a break from Open Late to take care of her baby.
Yes.
And I took over for her, but now I'm branching out and starting my own brand.
Yay.
Hey, babe, can we talk? Because that's something I say quite a bit in relationships.
Yes.
Yeah. So I have an overactive brain and I have lots of things I need to say. So I need a really patient man.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So first question, are you single? Are you in a relationship? Are you dating? What's the relationship status?
Okay. I am very single right now.
All right.
Yes. I was in something. Now I'm not in something. I had a bit of a situationship, but now you're full on single, my friend.
Okay. How is single life?
It's so good.
Is that the fake smile, or is that the interesting out here in the streets of dating?
Tell me about the dating apps. Not fun.
Atrocious.
They're atrocious. They really are atrocious. Yeah, I don't know what people are doing. They want to match, have a pen pal for about 2 weeks. I don't got that kind of time. I want to have a baby. I want to get married. I want to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's not like I want to rush into that, but like, I don't need to write to somebody. I really don't care how your Monday is. I really don't. Like, so like, let's meet, let's talk.
See if I even want to care about what your Monday is like.
Happy Monday. I'm like, do you really care about my Monday? You don't. You know nothing about me. Mm-hmm. So it's been really difficult on the dating apps.
Oh, okay. So in the past, have you ever dated someone that you met from a dating app?
Yes.
Okay. Actually, so it's worked for you before.
Well, I mean, we're not together.
True.
But no, we were together for 4 years. Okay. And I remember looking at his profile and I was with my girlfriend. I was like, this guy looks a little crazy.
Okay.
He's cute. So, and he proved to be both those things, you know? And yeah, we dated for 4 years, but that was the one guy I dated. And then I dated another guy for like 7 months off the dating apps, but I mean, that's it. So you can, it can happen. And a lot of people are meeting people on dating apps, but you got to go through quite a bit.
I imagine it's like a part-time job.
It is a part-time job. Answering all the people, having all the conversations.
I'm already ADHD. Okay. Girl. So meaning when I get text messages or I get emails, I get anxiety because I know I'm like, am I going to open this? Because I know I'm going to have to respond. And then when I respond, they're going to send me another one back.
Yes.
And I'm like, I can't deal with having all these conversations. I can barely get back to my friends.
Right.
So it does feel like a bit of pressure.
Yeah. So it depends on, you know, what you want. But if you want to find a boyfriend on there, find a real partner, you have to put in the work.
Totally.
You absolutely have to put in the work.
Yeah. I mean, an ideal world, right? We just stumble across our man at the grocery store picking out some whole organic foods.
Yeah, or I'd like, be dressing up, girl, to go to Whole Foods, Erewhon, all the things, glossing it up. I'm like, somebody come get me in the kale aisle.
Please. Yeah, yeah. So I'm curious, being in the relationship dating kind of space with the podcast, like, how did you get into this? Tell me a little bit about your relationship history. And like, also, how did you get into talking about it online?
Well, I've always loved being on camera. Like, okay. I love it. And I'm very passionate about relationships, especially when I see two people that are making it work. Mm-hmm. I'm always so curious about how did you guys do it? What is the connection?
Too.
Girl, you know, especially when I see people that can handle conflict resolution, and because that's the foundation to me of a relationship. Yes. It's not about the bright, fun, funny moments. It's about those moments when the disagreements happen. And how do we deal with the resolution? Mm-hmm, that's where the relationship is. And are you both emotionally intelligent enough to handle that? And it you both have to be.
Sure.
And if you aren't, you both have to be willing to go on that journey.
Yes.
So I've always wanted to do it. And I started actually doing a podcast with my, we are actually on a reality show.
Oh, really?
This guy, Freddie.
Okay.
Yes.
What show?
We were on Exile. Oh. No one watched it. I think just our parents.
Did.
Well, I mean, Carmen Electra was the host.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we met on there. It was like 8 years ago. And then we got together about a year ago and started a podcast about relationships called The Token and the Truth.
Okay.
And it's more focused on the balance between modern dating and traditional dating.
Okay.
He's very traditional. I call myself a medicinal woman.
Medicinal.
Like modern and traditional. Yes. You know what I mean?
I get it.
He believes there's no such thing.
Okay.
So hence we are not together anymore. But we dated for like a hot second. Anyway, so I always wanted to do my own solo thing and talk about my real passion of relationships. Because on that show, it's more specified towards, you know, that subject.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to talk about how to be an advocate for yourself and your mental health and loving yourself and not getting lost in a relationship. And that's honestly what inspired me, was losing myself completely and not thinking about Drea at all. Mm. It was all about the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mental health was just not good.
Wow.
Yeah. So it inspired me to want to do it. But then Jess had this opportunity for me and I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this for a bit. And now I'm starting my own thing.
Amazing. Well, it's time.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because you do have so many important insights and like your stories and your experience. And that's the thing. It's like every relationship I've ever had has taught me something.
Yeah.
Taught me something. Sometimes I needed to learn the same lesson again. So I dated another guy who was going to teach me the same lesson I didn't get the first time.
Absolutely.
But I really believe relationships are teachers and they're mirrors and they reflect back to us our parts that where we like the things where we have our edges that then we are like, no, that's too much. I can't love that. I can't love that. I can't accept that. Right. And it, I believe that, that people come into our lives to show us who we are, to teach us about who we are, what we're worth, what our value is, what we want. Like there's always something for me to like learn.
Yeah.
And looking back on my relationships, I'm like, okay, each of you had a unique lesson for me to learn, whether it be around my self-worth or boundaries or communication or playfulness, you know, or my sexuality, whatever it is. Yeah. And even though I've had some really, really brutal breakups, because I think about relationships in that way, I'm able to look back with gratitude and be like, thank you for teaching me that. Even if you taught me that by like betraying me and like cheating on me or whatever it is, like you've taught me something about what I'm worth and what I want and what I won't, will and won't settle for.
Yeah. You know I mean? Your journey of gratitude, how soon did that happen for you? Or was it like, oh, it takes a while.
It definitely takes a while.
Okay, girl. Cause I was like, you said, I was like, was it right after?
No, 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 that definitely takes a while, honestly. And I just, and I've done some deep work around this. Cause I was very much in my last relationship after it ended, it was really hard for me to get out of a negative mindset. Like really hard for me to stop like feeling bad for myself and like, damn, I wasted 2 years of my life. Like, how am I starting from zero again? Like all of this anger and resentment and like feelings of just, yeah, just like sadness. And I couldn't get out of that mindset. And actually I had to do some like deeper personal work. Like I actually just sat with ayahuasca recently and that was such an incredible experience. And it helped me to reframe not just my relationships, but so many things in my life of any adversity is like, say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Like have so much gratitude. One, because like if you're alive and you're experiencing this, even if it's painful, it means you're here. Like it means you're here and you're still doing this and you, there's still a chance and for you. And the fact that like we judge emotions based on good and bad, you know, because if we want to pursue pleasure and avoid pain and we think if we're feeling negatively or sad or whatever, it's bad. But I had to like realize that even my pain has come to like teach me something about myself and about the relationship. So yeah, I mean, no, it's definitely taken me a while to get to the gratitude part.
That was really, cause that's been my experience. And I think as I've gotten older, knowing that that space is going to come has helped with the breakups, but that pain is still just, it's the biggest teacher. And that's honestly why I'm so inspired to do the podcast because it's like, it's not easy. And I hate when friends of mine, and they know now because I'm very vocal about it, don't come to me and say, get over it. Don't call him. Just block him. Just do this. I have to go on the struggle bus of like dealing with all those things. And I've made a lot of mistakes.
Same.
I need to go on my journey. Let me do my process. I am never that friend who tells anybody what to do unless you're getting like physically abused and it's actual insanity, you know? But otherwise I'm like, do whatever you need to do. Like go through your process. You know what I mean? And so that's what my podcast is about for those who are on the struggle bus to mental health.
Yes. Cause we've all been there where we're just obsessive and we're overthinking.
Spending the long text.
And we're like stalking our exes.
Girl, I've done a pop-up or two, honey.
You're like, let me make this fake account real quick.
I'm like, who was he following? His follower count went up.
Okay. So we're going to, I'm sure we can get into all the toxic things that we have done and things we're healing from.
Yeah.
But I want to start with like, what do you personally look for in a man?
Number one thing I look for is a sense of humor.
Okay.
I am goofy. I like to laugh. I like to talk. And then your emotional EQ. Like that is so important to me, especially now. It wasn't so much in my 20s, even my early 30s.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, can you deal with conflict? Are you yelling at me? Are you hanging up in my face? What does it look
like?
Are
you being passive aggressive, playing games,
going
spiteful, like,
And I have
silent treatment,
all those things. Yeah. And I'm like, if that is who you are, I am not here to teach you or try to change you unless you're really cute. Then I might think about it.
I might do it for a minute.
Like I might stick around a little too long, but that is the most important thing to me.
Yeah.
Humor and being able to handle disagreement without being disrespectful and passive aggressive.
Okay. Curious if you've ever been with a man who, or maybe you, who equates disagreement with, oh my God, this is, we must not be together. Or like, this is wrong. Or this is like, yes. I've been with a guy who's like, every time we had an issue, it was like, uh-oh, this means we're done. Our relationship is not going to work out because we're having a fight. And I'm like, do you not understand that all relationships have conflict?
All of them.
And it felt like for a lot of our relationship, I was trying to help. It was so like triggering for him. It was like, every time we have an argument, I'm afraid that you're going to be like, oh, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, and that's such an unsafe feeling.
I was just going to say, you can't live like that. Then you're just constantly in this fight or flight place if there's something coming up. And then you're going to feel like you have to agree with them. I mean, I spent an entire relationship like that. I mean, we broke up all the time and no one believed us. And then my friend, she's married. And I remember asking her, I was like, hey, did you guys ever like do the breakup? She's like, we've never done that. We do not play that game. If that is something you say, we take it very seriously. Mm-hmm. But we don't do that. I mean, they've been married now for a while, so they've had maybe some tense moments, but they didn't do the back and forth. And my brain didn't even understand that. I'm like, what do you mean? You guys didn't like break up, not talk for a week, and then get back together and just keep doing it for 5 years? Oh, me either.
Yeah, but just kidding.
But yeah, that behavior is just so beyond anything I want to be a part of now. Mm-hmm. Like I want nothing to do with that.
Me neither.
And the more I've worked on myself, like genuinely, not in the way that people just say, I'm going to work on myself, I'm going to take myself on a date, but sat with those really awful, want to peel your skin off feelings is when I really have brought different type of men in my life. Haven't been perfect. And it doesn't mean that everybody you meet with a high emotional EQ is just going to be a match.
Right.
Because I met a guy and he was so emotionally intelligent. But we weren't a match. Mm-hmm. And the way that things ended was the most beautiful thing I'd ever experienced. Hmm. Yeah. Nobody yelled. Nobody hung up in each other's face. It was a very
mature.
Adult. Yes.
Mature.
And honestly, I couldn't believe it.
Well, the proof that things don't have to always end toxically. It's like not every ending has to be toxic.
No.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just aren't a match with people. And I remember thinking in that situation, because I hadn't experienced it that often, I wanted to really make it work because I was thinking, well, I don't know how many emotionally intelligent men there are. Right. Okay, no offense, but I'm just saying.
Fair.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I held on a little longer, but you know, we were both able to see that we weren't a match.
Yeah. So are you like a lover girl? Like, have you been in love multiple times in your life? Like had like your heart broken, like I assume most of us have.
Yes. I have had my heart stomped, ran over, thrown out. I mean, just all the things ripped apart. And once I know I like somebody, not even love them yet.
Yeah.
But that feeling when you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh my God, is he going to text me today?
Oh God.
And then you text them, you start thinking about how long they took to text you back. And then I'm like, oh no, no, no.
Oh no.
And then
I have gone over the edge.
And you know when it happens. Yeah. And then when I get to love, it's like, I mean, nobody I've ever dated has wondered if I liked them. No, no, no. They're clear. They're like, no, no, Drea is, she's into me for sure. And so when that dismantles, I mean, the good news is now I know I'm not going to die from it.
Right.
But there was a time where I genuinely felt if this person leaves me, my life is over.
Yes.
I like literally felt that.
Yeah.
And I know people like, Drea, oh my God, you're so dramatic. Yeah. You know, I've had friends go through breakups and I was more devastated than both of the parties. I'm like, I can't believe you guys are over. Yeah. And they're both like, we're going to be okay, Drea.
Yes. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Are you okay?
I love so much.
I do though.
I do too. I love so much. And I've gotten my heart shattered.
Shattered.
It's a hurt. It's a pain. I would not wish on anyone that I care about.
No.
And yet, oh God, like I never want to go through it again, ever. And there are so many reasons why, because the pain is so intense, it's like, I don't want to open that door again. I don't want to make myself vulnerable. I don't want to, but it's like, is it worth it? Yes.
Oh man,
absolutely.
It's
so worth it. And it's also a pain that's like, when you've gone through true heartbreak, like you'll never forget.
You will never forget it.
Yeah.
And I think when you're on the other side of it, you can see the benefits and the beauty of it. Because everybody is going to go through it on some level, hopefully. I have met people, though, who said they haven't experienced heartbreak, which I find very strange.
Yes.
Right. But I think that you hopefully learn the lesson. You don't have to keep learning it 88 times like I've done in my life.
So you were talking about earlier, like, I want to talk to the people who've made it work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
There was a time in my relationship where things were really, really rocky and things were on, we were on the rocks. We were like, are we going to stay together? Are we going to open up a relationship? Are we just going to, like, we were experimenting. We're like, we're going to throw everything at this. Just like, cause we don't want to give up on it, but it's not working. And let's get as experimental as possible. Well, at that time I started to think, cause I can take advice from my friends, but not all of my friends have the kind of relationships I want to have.
Had to learn that lesson too.
Like, don't take advice from people who don't have what you want. And so I was like, okay, well, who could I talk to? You know what I mean? Who has a relationship that is an example of something I would want?
Yeah.
And I mean, my mom passed away in 2018. My parents had worked together for 36 years. I had a beautiful example of a dedicated partnership. But even after she passed away, I found out so much about their relationship that I didn't know and how much more they were just dedicated friends and partners for years and years, more than they were lovers.
Okay.
And I didn't know that till much later. So my even idea of love and their partnership and their marriage shifted because it was like, I learned so much more about what it took to make it work. The sacrifices they both made, the commitments they both made. But even then, like now looking towards their relationship, which used to be kind of the example, I'm like, I still don't necessarily have an example of that level of commitment and friendship and romance and passion.
Right.
And so I'm curious for you, like, are there people you know that you look to that have healthy, beautiful, vibrant relationships? Because if so, please tell me it's possible.
It is absolutely possible.
Good.
And I think my view of love changed as well, just because I think there was a time where I just was like, oh, it's lollipops and, you know, unicorns all the time. And it's not. Those same two people that have this beautiful relationship, as we were talking about earlier, know how to manage conflict resolution. And they don't always have great times. And they do have times where maybe they question what they're doing, but they're committed to staying together. Yeah. So I know this couple and they've been together for, I think, 14 years or something. And I remember year 8, I was at a restaurant in West Hollywood and I saw them skipping down the street together, holding hands. Stop. And I was like, are you? And I called her. I was like, are you skipping down the street with him? And she's like, oh, hey, yeah. Did you just see us? And the thing I find is they're so funny. They laugh together and they treat each other like best friends. Mm-hmm. And that for me, and it's not true for everybody. Some people can sit next to their person all day and not say a word, which I do not understand.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk. But they have a friendship. And that's what I find to be, you know, the foundation of like great relationships. Like, do I like this person?
Yes.
Cause I've dated people that were my boyfriends, but I don't even know if I like them as like a friend. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
But it's so true.
It's so true. We'd sit on the couch together and I'm like, I don't even know what we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And we were together for years,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't have any laughter or anything. And I'm on this journey now to forgiving myself. Cause in those moments, I feel like I abandoned myself to be with this person who didn't even see me.
When you said earlier, you want to help people who, like find themselves again, not lose themselves in relationship.
Yes.
Is that what you mean? Like when you say like, I feel like I abandoned myself.
Yes.
What does it mean when you lose yourself in a relationship? How have you experienced that in your life? And like, how do we make sure? Cause I know exactly what it's like. And where this person comes my whole world.
Exactly. I think the core of that for me is focusing on the love part too much and not really caring who the person was. Mm-hmm. And there was a point when I was dating where it's like, it didn't matter. As long as there was like a warm body right here that said, okay, Drea, you know, I didn't think about anything else. And I remember I was going to weddings. I went to this barbecue and everyone kept saying, oh, you're here alone. And I was like, I got to get a boyfriend.
Mm.
So I started dating this person and not really looking at any of the red flags. I was just like, I want someone to go to these things with me. And on that journey of just focusing on the relationship so I can say I have a man, I'm not thinking about anything that I'm feeling inside. I'm not thinking about how he's really talking to me. I'm not looking at any of his actions, his values. Mm-hmm. What does he want for his life? Is he drinking too much? I'm just like, there's a person.
Yeah.
And so that has to do with me and how I view myself and what I think I deserve. And until you actually really deal with that, you're going to continue to entertain that kind of person who was showing up with essentially nothing.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's cool. Do you want to go to a wedding with me next week? You know? And he said, yeah. So I was like, great.
Okay. Yeah. So we just like are accepting like the bare minimum just because
it's the crumbs.
The crumbs of the crumbs.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. You'll never be fulfilled with crumbs.
No, you will not. But you will start to think that that is the norm.
Yes.
That this person sprinkles a little bit. And then you start thinking, even subconsciously, because I feel like that's what really leads everything, that that's what you deserve. Mm-hmm. And you can, because I know there was a point where it's like, I was saying to all my friends, I want to get out of this. I want to do something different. I know I don't deserve this, but it's not, it wasn't embodied in me. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't really what I believe.
Yeah. Because there's a difference between like logically understanding it and knowing it and like believing it, thinking about it versus embodying it and practicing it.
Yes.
Like, and I think that's one of the biggest disconnects with people. And they say like, the longest distance you'll travel is between your head and your heart. It's like, I can think about it and know that this is, but like in my, I said this to my therapist and I'm truthfully, it wasn't that long ago.
Like, let me
be honest. Yeah, let me be honest. It was not that long ago. And I was like, I feel like my head and my heart speak two different languages.
Ooh, yeah.
And I was like, my head is telling me this is wrong. This is not for me. Da, 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 da. You deserve so much better, Tori. Da, da. My heart's like, but I can't let it
Where are the crumbs? Give me the crumbs.
I'll take it. And I've like, it was almost ingrained in my like nervous system to keep going back for this little bit. I was like fiending for this like little bit of attention or a little bit of validation. And they'd be like, the people I love in my life, like Tori,
girl.
Do you see this? Hello, wake up.
Is anybody home?
I was like literally love drunk. Love
That's
drunk.
A real thing. That is a real thing. And for all the people that say, you know, they don't know what I'm talking about, they haven't experienced it, that's for who my podcast is for, who understands what it is to be love drunk. Girl, because it's almost like you like zombie out. You're like,
yes,
whatever you
there's
know?
A book called, what is this book called? About your brain on love. Stan Tatkin, I think, is the author. You have to read this
book. I will read it.
And then we should go on the podcast and talk about it.
Yes.
He talks about how when you're falling in love at different stages of that process, your brain is creating chemicals as if you're literally on drugs. So you have lost access to your full ability to perceive the situation 100%. For the truth.
Yep.
You're seeing a very narrow like perspective, and there are pheromones and hormones and chemicals that are getting created where it's like, I need this. When you start to see someone at a party and you're like, oh, I really enjoyed that conversation with them. And then all of a sudden you're on the other side of the party. And you're like, now you've thought about them again.
Yes.
That's this attraction that has a chemical makeup in your brain.
I believe
that also starts to create this connection, because also we're wired to mate.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, wait, come
exactly.
back.
Exactly.
You know so we're working things. Against yes. ourselves. Even if we understand what's happening, like on a physiological level, there is a part of us that is attracted to others.
Yeah. And there's all the, I always say, I wish you could see whatever that is. Like you're in a room and you're just hanging out and you're like, and you just, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And you go you over to the person. Yes. And it's like, you get like this feeling in your stomach. And then
I love it. I love it.
But now I'm always like,
I know.
Oh, no.
Oh God.
Then I just start acting like a crazy person. You know what I mean? I'm always cool until I get that little like, hey, I think we like him. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, please no, give me another week. Please give me another week. I just want to be normal and cool. Mm-hmm. I am not cool. I have zero chill. Like zero.
Are you 0 to 100 girl? Like, do you, or have you learned to take it slower?
I've learned to take it slower. It's so uncomfortable though. Cause I'm like, do you want to move in? I'm sorry. You just got here. No, I don't mean that. That is old me talking.
Yes, right.
Like, I love you. No, I don't. I really don't. That's my 7-year-old mm-hmm. talking. Please don't listen to that.
Yes.
And that's a bit another thing too. It's like dating as a 7-year-old, my inner child, and realizing that distinction of being my adult self and then showing up on dates in the past as my 7 year old.
Not as your today adult.
Like, take care of me. Can you please take care of me? Take all my baggage. I don't even know you. And we're like, whoa.
Right.
Hold on, Drea.
Yes.
Our next partner is AG1, the daily foundational nutrition supplement that supports whole body health. I drink AG1 literally every day, and I started to give them a try because I realized that in order to be the real champion of my life, I've got to take care of my body. It's truly an absolute non-negotiable. I drink AG1 in the morning before I start my day, and it makes me feel like I'm doing something good for my body as a positive first action and habit of my day. Because I've realized that one small thing that I do is the quickest way that I can create lasting change in my life. I think about it like this: my choices, my actions, they matter. So I think of drinking AG1 as a choice. It's like a vote for the person that I want to become. Someone who's balanced, vibrant, healthy, full of energy. And that's why I love AG1. It tastes so great and gives me everything that I need to feel my best. So if a comprehensive solution is what you need for your supplement routine, then try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/coachable. That's drinkag1.com/coachable. Check them out today.
Now, where did you start to learn this stuff about yourself? Like, because you obviously have a ton of self-awareness. You've done a lot of work on yourself. Like, was there a time where like, I think I need support on this level, you know? Or like, how did you start to dissect some of your own patterns or traumas, or like start to connect the dots between your inner child and her wants and needs in comparison to who you are today?
Well, the motivation for the biggest transformation in my life, shocker, was a breakup.
Isn't and it something tragic?
Like a breakup. It was terrible. My friends were worried about me. I didn't eat for like 4 days. I was a mess. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm one of those people that I have to hit that low of a place. Otherwise, I just
kind of love to learn the hard way.
Love to learn the hard way. You tell me the stove's hot. I'm like, excuse me, I'll be back. Oh my God. You know what I mean? Exactly. And I'll keep going back. So at that point, I was in so much pain that I was like, I need to get some outside help. Like, I need to do something because the way I'm thinking, the way I'm seeing the world isn't making sense. So my first step was to get rid of all substances in my life.
Okay.
So I've been sober a very long time.
Amazing.
And that really helped just clear my mind and get me to really focus on myself, which was gross. And I did not like it and super uncomfortable. But it's just because those things went away didn't mean it was all of a sudden perfect. Mm-hmm. So I had to find another program.
Well, now all your Band-Aids have opened. Now you're feeling everything that numbed to some level and whatever, you know, your vices were. And now you're like, oh, I'm facing this head on.
Yes. And it's scary when you don't have anything to put over it. And so, but then you start using other things. Like, I was shopping too much. Mm. I was eating too much. I was dating too much. You know, there's other things you can pick up. So I had to find the balance in that. Right. And then there was another program I had to join for relationships because I was doing that addictively too. And that's really when the awareness for me started of that inner journey. Mm-hmm. I got a new therapist. I started going to all these meetings and meeting other people who kind of was seeing the world like me and these rose colored glasses in terms of dating really unavailable, toxic people, where I felt my friends would just get it and I was not getting it. I was not getting it. So I was like, something in my wiring is being triggered by these toxic, unavailable people from within myself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, childhood stuff, obviously.
Yeah.
Traumatic upbringing in some ways. And all of that was just steering the ship. And I just did not have any language education about this. Mm-hmm. And once that started happening, it's a slow process, but those seeds were planted and over time they've grown into the woman that I am today. And again, not perfect. I'm still, you know, making some mistakes over here.
Yeah, girl.
But I think the consciousness of what I'm doing is so different than when I was younger.
1,000%. Yeah. I mean, and I think that is the first and most prevalent, like, mile marker when you realize, like, as you're growing up and you're adulting and then you're maturing and then you're becoming and working on yourself, like, that's the evidence, is your level of awareness is the first thing. You can't change something you're not aware of.
Exactly.
So you have to, it has to come into your consciousness. And when you were talking earlier about when you were dating that guy and you were just like taking him to the weddings, you're like, we don't even have anything in common. We're not compatible. You're just like filling this role for me. What I heard is like just unconscious dating. You're just like, aren't even, you're just like asleep at the wheel, but like, you work, just get in, you know?
Yeah.
And versus let me think intentionally.
Yes.
Clearly about what I want, what I value, what I need, what does that look like? And then from there, I make choices about.
I wasn't asking any of those questions. Yeah,
if this is somebody I want right. to pursue or not.
It was as simple as, is he cute? And are you available on this date? Mm-hmm. And that was
at
really
this
it.
Time.
At this time, right?
Yes.
And if you're not, I'll make it work around your schedule.
Yes. Well, because isn't that one of the traits of those of us who lose ourselves in a relationship? It's like, I will change my schedule to fit into your world.
Yeah.
That was a lot of things, times in my past, I noticed that I was overgiving in the sense I was like, I'm available
all the time.
And this is one of the things I've learned. I'm like, stop being available all the time.
They
have your own
you
fucking life. Have your own fucking life. Do your own stuff. Be so in love with your life.
Yes.
And that is like the biggest piece of advice is like, focus on you. And then if someone comes in and is like, please make time for me.
Right.
Then you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
I want to give that energy to myself.
Yes.
Right. Like that's,
I want to be obsessed with myself the way I was obsessed with other people in my life.
Exactly. Because honestly, when I do see people that are really doing that in a real way, I find it, I admire that.
Totally.
And one person I know for sure that does that is my mother.
Really?
Nobody loves my mother more than my mother. She thinks she is all that in a bag of chips.
That's amazing.
Every day, all day. This woman is the most confident person I have ever encountered.
That's amazing.
In my life. Somebody breaks up with her. She's like, oh, well, that's their loss. I'm moving on. And she's done. She's over it. She's like, no, that wasn't meant for me. That's not what the universe wanted.
Good for her.
Like, could you sprinkle some of that
give
over
me
here?
Some of that. Spit on my side of the
house.
Yeah. And I'm like, yes.
But she took a journey to get there. Mm-hmm. But I mean, my mom is definitely walking and breathing person who embodies that confidence. And it's something I aspire to have, mm-hmm. because I think it really is attractive when you are doing your own thing. When you say no, when you're like, oh, that doesn't work for me. People are attracted to that. Not like, yes, I'll answer whenever. I'll go, I'll do it.
Well, because that energy is an energy of like desperation.
It is.
And it's so, it's not cute. It's not, it's
have you
not
had
cute.
It done to you? Because I have. And then I'm like,
ew, no, like
no,
too much.
Too much.
Too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
Too much.
So there is something to be said about just focusing on yourself. And I don't know about you. Like, have you gone through periods of time where you like literally don't talk to anyone? Because I was always a girl. I'm serial monogamous girl, right? Love relationships.
Same.
Love. Love having my person. I'm a ride or die like girl. And all through college, even when I was single, there was like always somebody I was like talking to.
Always.
And what I have found is like there's so much value in periods of time where you're just not focused on anything else besides you. And even like, I'm not waiting on somebody to be like, text me goodnight. Even so, yeah, I'm like curious what's that like for you?
That journey is happening like essentially now of finally being in a place where being alone is not debilitating to me. Cause it, anytime there wasn't anybody texting me, I'm online like, oh, I gotta I gotta get something stirring here. Like it can't just be nothing. But now I really am on that journey to fall in love with Drea in a real way and not just in this spiritual bypass way where I talk about it, but I'm not doing it. So going through that, like I said, peel the skin off pain is what's happening. But yeah, most of the time, if there's not, you know, you go recycle. Let me call my ex or like see what he's
doing. Yes. Cause I'm bored and I want to fill this space or this empty space where someone usually is.
Always.
What am I going to do with it? And most of us, we're just like, okay, how can I just allocate this to someone else, right? And then we go to somebody else as a,
because that's the only way you could possibly get over.
And it's like,
someone.
Oh no, like this is such creative energy. What if I put this towards any creative act, any level of service, any contribution to yourself or the world in any capacity? And especially during my deep breakups, I'm like, I've got to take all of this energy.
Because it doesn't go away.
Well, yeah, no, it doesn't.
Yeah, and it stays like there.
This love, I still have all this love to give.
Yeah.
Where am I going to direct that?
You know what I did after one of my most painful breakups? I went and volunteered at the homeless shelter and it changed. I mean, there was no space to think about how badly I was in pain. I mean, it literally just went out the door. Yeah. So I went there every day, I think, for like 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And Mark Groves. Mark Groves saved my...
We love Mark.
Thank you, Mark, so much. I love him.
He's been on the show. He's coming back next month. I think it's next month.
Oh my God.
He'll be back.
I just got goosebumps.
Yeah.
I swear he saved my life. I was literally at the edge and I got on YouTube and I don't remember what I searched for, but he came up and I was like, okay, universe, here we go. And everything switched.
Yeah,
I was
like, okay. You're not the only person. I have other friends who've said that same thing. Like he helped me come out of like a really dark time.
He was like my guy. Like I'd be cleaning and I'm like, I'm going to hang out with Mark.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's so amazing. Yes. So given that, you've been in relationships, you've done this thing before, you've learned a lot about yourself, about the types of men you want to be with or don't want to be with. What are some of like the biggest red flags that you've ignored over the years that you're like, I regret ignoring that. But like, what are some of those, maybe even like not so obvious red flags that we overlook, which is like, maybe like someone's we were talking offline before, just as an example, and somebody in the studio, I will not call their name, was like watching their reaction to things. Yeah. Like is a red flag. If we have a issue that is a level 2, but you react at a level 10.
Yep.
It's like, that's something to pay attention to.
Yeah.
So I'm curious for you, like, what does that look like?
Some red flags I've definitely ignored was basic red flags of, I don't want to be in a relationship, Drea. And I'm like, this is a challenge.
Yeah,
you're going to be in a relationship with me. That is honestly, I've definitely encountered that where it's like, yeah, I'm just not really looking for anything right now. And me knowing that I'm a lover, and if I go any further with this person, I'm going to fall in love with them. One red flag that I now definitely pay attention to is how someone speaks about their ex.
That was another one that was said. Yes.
Yeah. And if they speak about them with grace, and even if something really bad happened, that they don't have that, like, you know, bitch, all that. I'm very cognizant of that particular thing. This one guy I went on a date with was talking about his child's mother, like garbage. And granted, she didn't sound great, but we're on our first date. Why are we talking about this and you calling her a bitch? Like, this is crazy to me. Yeah. I didn't like that. And then another one is how you treat your friends and your family. Because if you're talking about your friends, talking behind their backs, or a lot of negativity. And then the biggest one with me for men as a heterosexual woman is, how are you with your mother? Because I have learned the hard way that if they have a terrible relationship with their mother, it is going to come down to you. In my experience,
it is.
It is going to come down to you.
Yes.
Period.
And it's going to get all of it's going to be projected.
You're going to get all of it.
Yes.
And so it's not to say I wouldn't date a guy if it's bad with your mother, but it's how you deal with it. It's the same thing as the conflict resolution. How are you handling it? Are you healed? Have you done work on yourself?
Okay. Let's go deeper into this.
I'm like, otherwise, bye.
Okay. What are some of the ways in which a guy that you've been dating's mommy issues has played out in your relationship?
It played out in their mom was very aggressive, I guess, and in how she approached their relationship. And so anytime I made a suggestion or I was like, oh, I think you should, it was met with, you don't tell. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm coming from a place of love and I love to communicate. So I'm always speaking here.
Yeah.
Always thought I was yelling. Right. Always. If I said his name, I'm coming at him.
You're attacking him.
Yes.
Attacking him.
Why are you? And I'm thinking, oh no. And then I started to realize, I was like, I'm not talking to the adult person. This is his inner child dating me in this moment. Yeah. I'm trying to stay in my adult self. And I wasn't always perfect. Sometimes he brought me right to my 7-year-old and we're just sitting there fighting 7 to 6-year-old all day, you know? But I would get out of that, get off the phone with him. And I'm like, this is not about me, you know? So if you got some stuff with your mom, I mean, it affects everything and how you look at women.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your first relationship with a woman. And if you're walking around with all this angst and hatred for your mom, anything I
or
say.
You felt like you were never enough for her, you were constantly getting in trouble, or you're constantly getting punished, or you're trying to always prove yourself, or whatever, all of that's going to play out, and you are going to become that person to project all of that on.
Yeah.
And it's so unconscious. It's so completely unconscious right. that we don't, he doesn't know he's doing that, and vice versa. If we have issues, we mirror these things back to each other. And God forbid you say something about
that. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Awareness to it. It's
right. like, whoa, I mean, it's crazy. And then when you start to realize that everyone's on their own journey, yeah. I'm really working on to not see things as good and bad, but sometimes I'm like, this is just nuts. Yes. Like, I don't know how to deal with this, but that's his path.
Yeah.
That's his journey. I'm doing my work, and I need to be across from someone who's committed to doing the work.
Right. And yeah. you don't have to teach them.
No.
That this is work that even needs to be worked on, right?
I mean, and it's like the relationship with your come on, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Brings up a lot for me.
Oh my gosh, I know, because I have my dad stuff, and I used to bring that to the relationship. Mm. I've said some crazy things, especially in my early 20s, when I was completely unconscious to men that they were like thinking, "What is going on here?" Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing my father. I'm seeing my abandonment. Through this person. Right. And then once I did that, I realized there's what's mine, there's what's ours, and then there's what's yours.
Yeah.
And we got to figure out and make sure we know what's what.
Well, and the truth is, a relationship will never work unless both parties are 100% committed to being responsible for their side of the street. You know what I mean? And cleaning up their side of the street. And that's why there's those quotes. It's like, let's heal so that we stop hurting the people that we love.
And you know what? That reminds me that exact thing right there, where this person could sometimes go out in the world, put on a nice face for everybody else. But when we were alone, I got the demon because I'm the closest to him. And he was very conscious of that. He's like, yeah, but I love you and I'm closest to you. And I was like, but give me some of that. You know, we're together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you hurt those that are the closest to you.
Right. And if we don't do the work necessary to heal, we will just end up recreating that and continually hurting other people and passing that down. That's how we pass shit down generationally. And we continue to do the thing that was done to us. But it takes somebody who's really willing to look in the mirror. And if you're like, I don't deal with conflict, I don't want to feel pain, I don't want to address these things, like, it's easier to just, you know, close my heart or not have serious relationships or do all the exactly.
Yeah.
Which for me, I think despite anything I've been through, any heartbreak, my goal is always to stay open-hearted.
Yes, Tori, it's so hard sometimes.
Yes.
But yeah,
it is, because pain makes you want to close.
Girl.
And shame makes you want to hide. It makes you want to retract. It makes you want to go into your shell. And maybe there's a time for that, you know, to heal
absolutely.
And to allow yourself absolutely. To like move through and process. But like, ultimately, I never want some heartbreak to keep me afraid of like staying open and staying vulnerable and continuing to give love. I have so much love to give, not just in a romantic setting. That's one of it been the one of the biggest things in my life currently.
Yeah.
It's just like, look around you. How many people love you?
Mm.
You know, especially when I'm going through really, really hard, challenging times after breakups, it's like, Tori, I used to have the story that I lose the people that I love.
Oh.
So it was all around fear of loss. And so I would hold on way too long in relationships because I just didn't want it to end. And one of the things that has helped me heal that is recognizing the love wasn't just in that person.
Mm.
It's not externalized in them. It's in me.
Ooh, Tori, I needed that one today.
Yeah. That like the love that I felt wasn't in them. It was in me. And they were just holding up this. They were just like the conduit to bring that love out of me.
Yeah.
And that has helped me so much. It's like, oh, so love isn't lost. It's here. It's mine.
It's yours.
And other people can be the conduit to help me like bring that out, but I can look at my friendships. I can look at my parents. I can look at all these other people and let them stand in that place for now so that love doesn't, I don't withhold it.
I really love that because you're absolutely right. When I think about my friends and, you know, even friendships, I've had to take some moments recently and take a look at, because it's not just romantic relationships. And I talk about that on my podcast. You have to take, I call it an energy budget of even your friendships and who's draining you. What are you getting from people? But I really like that idea of it doesn't have to just be romantic. Like I can do those nice things for my friends too. Right?
Dude. I was saying, my friends treat me so good.
Aww.
Like, why do I was like, I don't need no man. I'm good.
Girl.
Like, my friends take care of me.
I love that. Like,
and you need to come offering a lot because I got a lot of great people in my life.
Yeah.
That love me so, so well. And it's actually been the women and the sisterhood and the friendships in my life that have reinforced and reminded me of what it's like to be loved really well in the ways I want to be loved and seen in the ways I want to be seen. And like that there are people, regardless of your gender or if we're romantic or if we're platonic or whatever, that care about you and want to love you the way you want to be loved. And that matters to them instead of just loving you in a way that's convenient for them, you know? And that has like restored such a part of my heart that was like, maybe I'll never get my needs met or, you know, it's up to me to meet my needs, but also like no one will ever be able to love me in the way I want to be loved. And I've completely like proven that to be false.
I love this thought of taking love to other people in your life, other than your romantic partner. It's not like I didn't think about that, but when you say it like that, it softens my heart a little bit because I'm in a spot right now where I'm a little angry, you know, and I'm working through that and I'm in a hermit phase where I just don't want to
look at me. Don't look at me.
My heart's like, we need a minute. I need a break, you know, but I love that idea of continuing to show that to the people around me that I'm not just dating my family, my friends. And
Well, because what the opposite of withholding love or because I read something recently. It said grief is love with nowhere to go.
My mom told me and my sister that when I lost my sister.
And I'd
never heard that.
Oh, that's what it feels like. You're like, it's not going to this person anymore. But so I was like, I've got to find new outlet because I need to still extend this because my most favorite books, I read it every single year.
Oh, what is it?
It's called A Return to Love.
Oh, yes.
Marianne Williamson. And she says in that book that like, love is to people what water is to plants. That without it, we're doomed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And how important it is to
really believe that.
Nourish. Like we need this. Like we are built for connection. We're wired for connection. And we come, I believe, from a source of love. And when we get here, we just forget that we're connected to love. And then it becomes about war and competition and protection. And for me, like success, whether I am with somebody for 70 years or I'm single or divorced or anything in between, it's like, but did I keep my heart open? You know?
Yeah.
Or I don't want to be that woman who's like old and like, hates men and talks shit and is like,
gosh, that's my worst nightmare.
Don't trust any men. Yes. Don't do this. I'm like, I may it not be said of me. Like, I believe in men. I love men.
Yeah.
I think we need men to stand up in their power and own and take responsibility for their work. And I know that there are men out there
doing it.
There are men in my community, dear friends of mine. I am so proud to have in my life. And I can point to as like admirable, respectable, good men. And like, also I've had men hurt and break my heart and that's okay. And I've broken hearts.
Same.
And ultimately we all want love.
Right.
Like every single one of us. And that's one thing I don't like think we get to like opt out of.
Right.
Even if we want to say like, I don't need it.
It's like, and when I hear people say that, you know, it's the same thing as the woman saying, don't trust anybody. You can't date anybody. And it feels sad, you know, and that's to me, their inner child and all their broken trauma speaking. But I've a big heart, and anybody that knows me knows that about me. I always try to lead with positivity. And sometimes even when that's not really how I'm feeling inside, I care a lot about how others are feeling and I want them to feel that love. Mm-hmm. And so I remember I went to my high school reunion and this guy came up to me and he was like, Drea, I always think about the moment when I just transferred high schools. You were the only person who spoke to me. Because I never was like, oh, this person's not in the cool club or whatever. Because there was a minute where I wasn't in the cool club. But I was always open and saying hi to people because you never know what someone's going through. So when I hear people say, oh, I don't need anybody. And I'm like, that's the broken part of you speaking, the healed part.
Yeah. Well, what advice or tips or lessons have you learned that you want to like leave with our people tonight? Because obviously I want them all to tune into your new show.
Thank you.
Especially those who are going through it. They're finding themselves again. They're like, I'm tired of doing the same old shit and dating, ready to get new results. Obviously, listen to her episodes and her new show. But like, what can people expect? And then also like, what do you want to leave with our audience? Anything you've learned or you want people to know?
Yeah. The biggest thing I've learned is to give yourself grace and in a real way and go easy on yourself. And because I know for me, there was a lot of voices at a time that I felt so misunderstood and like nobody understood. I felt crazy, seriously. And so my podcasts are for those on that struggle bus journey who feel like my friends are telling me this, my mom's telling, nobody gets it. I'm here to tell you, I get it. Mm-hmm. I understand what it's like to beat your head up against the wall, really want to fight and do something else. That person calls and you pick up the phone and you can't tell anybody. Like Drea understands. Mm-hmm. And on Hey Babe, Can We Talk? I want to make a place for people to feel safe, seen, and understood.
Mm. Well, I'm going to be tuning in. Yay! I'll be one of your listeners for sure. And I just love you. And I'm excited as always to like see my friends experience love at a deep level in whatever area of life that like really connects with them, whether it's romantically, friendships. And I'm a big lover girl, so.
I love that you are, Tori. I also want to say we're going to laugh too. We're going to laugh a lot on the show. Yes. We'll be all serious.
Heck yeah.
It'll be funny.
Good. Well, there are looking back on some of the stuff, I laugh at myself. So
yes.
Where can people find you online and where can they find the show?
At the Drea Renee is my personal Instagram and it'll be at Hey Babe, Can We Talk?
Amazing.
Yeah.
We'll be tuning in.
Thank you.
I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode of the Coachable Podcast. We'll see you next week. See you later.